Welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Coming up today, we have the Jeremy Hellickson trade from several angles, and we'll look at what some ex-Rays are doing in the Tampa Bay community.
This is Rays Radio. Now here's your host, Neil Solons.
Thanks for joining us on this Monday, November 17th, and our third This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Remember, if you missed one, they're always on archive at raysbaseball.com/podcast, or you can subscribe so you automatically receive the newest show. Now, last week were the GM meetings in Phoenix. A deal wasn't made there, but it was when the Rays came back. Jeremy Hellickson went from the Rays to Arizona for minor league prospects Andrew Velasquez, an infielder, and Justin Williams, an outfielder. So, let's begin there.
It's time to go inside the operating room and take a look at Rays baseball operations.
Joining us on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast first is Chaim Bloom, Rays Vice President of Baseball Operations. Chaim, let's start with the Jeremy Hellickson trade. How long or how difficult was it to trade someone like Jeremy, who certainly had been an important part of your system?
Well, first of all, on a personal level, on an emotional level, you get attached to these guys. I mean, Jeremy's been here for a really long time. And so from that standpoint, it's always kind of bittersweet. It came down to us really liking the guys we were able to get back and also feeling fortunate. You never want to be too cavalier with pitching depth, but feeling fortunate that we had some depth and that made it a strength to deal from.
If he had really had a bounce back campaign after the surgery and had performed better, would it have made it a harder decision to deal someone like that, or would you also still have been dealing from a strength?
I think we still would have been dealing from a strength, I think, and that would have changed the dynamic of the decision, obviously, to the extent that it might have changed how the market would have seen him or how he fit into our group. But we still felt that pitching depth was something that we at least could explore dealing from.
What did you mentioned that you like the players coming back. Give us your synopsis of the two guys who came and what they can be.
Well, one of the things we like about those guys is they've got great upside. I mean, in Velasquez, we have a guy who's playing in the middle of the diamond and has terrific speed. Williams is a guy that has very good raw power, and they're both very young, and they've had success at a young age in environments that aren't necessarily the easiest offensive environments. So when we have a chance to get position players who are hard to find, and especially position players with the upside to be frontline players, that's very hard for us to turn down.
And in Velasquez's case, he has speed, which I know is something that has been lacking a little bit at the big league level the last couple of years.
Yeah, for sure, and it's something that made him really appealing to us. He has speed, and it's usable speed. He's able to use it in a way that can impact the game.
Am I reading too much into this? You got Velasquez. You recently got Willy Adames. You drafted Casey Gillespie. Is it coincidental that they're all switch hitters, and over the long haul could, if they become good major leaguers, give you more versatility? Or Adames is right-handed, but you have acquired recently a switch hitter in that case, switch hitter in Gillespie's case. Is that something that you do seek on the open from prospect?
It's always preferable, assuming that they are strong from both sides. It always helps. I think increasingly we see it at the big league level. You see it especially in the late innings when you have specialist righties or specialist lefties brought into the game, and they can effectively neutralize a really good hitter. So when you have the opportunity to have a guy turned around and still be able to be a weapon at the plate, it definitely helps.
And I guess I was thinking of Nick Franklin, who came in the same trade as Willy Adames. Again, maybe stronger from one side of the plate than the other, but also a switch hitter. Moving forward, I would assume part of the reason you made the deal is because it does give you more 40-man flexibility. How tough is this week for you guys?
This is a unique situation for us. We haven't been in exactly this position. We always have difficult calls when we're setting our 40-man roster. But in this year, we're fortunate. We had no free agents off our major league club, so it put us in a bind. It's great to have that stability, but it put us in a bind in terms of not having the usual space that comes available to add some of the guys we're looking to add. So because of that, it gave us a little extra incentive to try to do some things in November that in a normal year might be more December conversations.
In doing that, you're also balancing a managerial search. How hard has the balance been, and how much time is spent on one versus the other?
It was really busy. I mean, we're used to having to split our time up among a number of different things. This added an extra challenge to that. And I think the best way to describe it, especially this past week when we were out in Arizona, was always trying to keep the big picture in mind, but to make sure that we were locked in and focused on whatever task we had at hand and just try to divide our time effectively that way.
I'm sure that you're also adjusting to the change. You're in a new role. Eric's in a new role. Matt Silverman's in a new role. Was the dynamic any different, let's say, at the GM meetings here than it was in GM or winter meetings past?
In certain ways, it was. I mean, there's going to be some difference anytime you go through the adjustments and the changes that we had. But at the same time, we all know each other pretty well. And between Matt and Eric and certainly the rest of our group, there's a great comfort level there. So I don't think in that respect it changed things all that much.
Ryan Bloom, I know you got lots of work to do before Thursday's deadline, so thanks for being with us on the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Thanks for having me.
That's Rays Vice President of Baseball Operations, Ryan Bloom, on our look inside the operating room on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Let's get another look at what happened in the past week.
Time now to head up to the press box.
And joining us now on the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, a guy who may have had fewer days off already in this offseason than he had during the regular season. It's been that busy for Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. Topper, you even had to work on your birthday.
Yeah, we sure did, Neil. About 10 o'clock on Friday night, word comes down that Jeremy Hellickson's been traded, so slipped outside of the fine establishment where we were, got Jeremy on the phone, brought the computer in, and typed it up in the corner of Ferg Sports Bar.
A great way. I guess the birthday was memorable, and you'll always remember Jeremy Hellickson for some sort of reason, right?
Yeah, it was fun to share my birthday with some good friends, and who knew I would be talking to Jeremy Hellickson on my birthday as well. So it works out in odd ways sometimes.
You know, I read your quotes in the Tampa Bay Times. He seemed, you know, at least you spoke to him. So how surprised was he at all this?
Yeah, you know, I think it was a combination of, you know, surprise and almost like that reality when you keep hearing something and maybe you hope it's not going to be true and you find out it is. I mean, Jeremy Hellickson needs to say what he did about being excited to go to Arizona, and I'm sure he will be eventually, but there's no doubt he did not want to be traded. He wanted to stay here. He was very comfortable here. He obviously had some great friends here led by Alex Cobb, and the whole Rays organization is all he's ever known. So, yeah, I have no doubt that he was, you know, kind of that combination of surprise / disappointment that you get when something like that happens.
I was somewhat surprised that it was Arizona that, you know, the Rays dealt with regarding this. Not because, I mean, there were rumors about it, and usually those rumors don't come true with that specific team. But beyond that, Arizona's known as a pretty homer-friendly ballpark, and he's a fly ball pitcher. So it's kind of an odd match.
Yeah, it is an interesting match, and also in the fact that, you know, with the new regime there, a new general manager, a new manager, and some significant questions about the rotation, I think there's been some surprise nationally that, you know, the Diamondbacks would make an aggressive move for a pitcher that's not a sure thing. I mean, Jeremy Hellickson of, you know, a couple of years ago would be a really good pitcher, but Jeremy Hellickson over the last 2 years has obviously had some issues. So for the Diamondbacks to, you know, go out and trade a couple prospects for a guy that, you know, isn't necessarily a sure thing, and they're talking about him as their number two or three starter. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, for the Rays, if he was going to be in the rotation here, it was going to be as a number five guy more than likely, and it would have been for maybe half a season if Matt Moore returned as expected. So what did you think of the move itself and on paper what the Rays got in return?
Oh, I thought it was a little bit of a gamble in the sense that, you know, any return from surgery is never certain, and certainly from Tommy John surgery. I mean, everything we've heard to this point is that Matt Moore has done well, but obviously the bulk of the key steps, you know, facing hitters, regaining velocity, bouncing back, all those type of things that will ultimately determine when he gets back on the mound are still to come. So it's a gamble on the Rays' part. The conservative way would have been to hang on to Hellickson, open the season with him in the rotation, and then, you know, if and when Matt Moore returns, look to trade Hellickson then. Obviously, the Rays also had to factor in needing some roster spots. So a little bit of an aggressive move on their part. They got back a couple of young kids, you know, 19 and a 20-year-old A-ball type players. You know, and as always the case, you hear the good things about them. Certainly the Rays point out the good things about them. But, you know, talking to a couple other people, it sounds like Andrew Velasquez is definitely the key guy in this deal. Had a scout, unsolicited, a scout who doesn't work for either the Rays or the Diamondbacks, texted me late Friday night, who said that he'd been, you know, doing his off-season work, and that Velasquez was the best prospect he saw playing in Puerto Rico, and definitely a major league player, you know, loved his advanced offensive approach, thought he may end up having to move to second base, described him as fearless, top-of-the-order type of guy. So, you know, for whatever that's worth, some validation of what the Rays saw in making this deal and getting back a couple kids who maybe can help down the road, as opposed to just, you know, someone without a ceiling that maybe fills a hole now versus some guys that are younger and they believe could be key parts in the future.
And certainly, Mark, as we know, they need to build up their number of talented offensive prospects. You know, they got Willy Adames in the trade with David Price, and now they get Velasquez, and they both of them are switch hitters, which gives them, if they make it, more balance offensively.
Absolutely, and you know, I think that's one thing where, you know, not that Andrew Friedman wasn't aware that they needed position players in their system, but maybe that's one of the benefits of the new regime, where there's a little bit different look. And, you know, the new guys are, you know, not new guys, but stepping into new roles, and Matt Silverman, Heimblum, Eric Neander, you know, change the priorities a little bit. And then, you know, go out and maybe instead of always looking to get back pitching when they trade pitching, which if you look at most of their deals in the past, they have done. Here they went back and got two young position players. And, you know, look, if one of those two guys hits and ends up being a pretty good major league player, that deal will end up being looked at pretty well down the road, I would think.
And as you mentioned prior, the Rays do have more 40-man roster moves to make. The deadline is the 20th later on this week. So what's still to come in your mind?
Well, yeah, I think and as you know, between the time we take this and you post it, there may have been five moves the way things work. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a busy week, or at least a busy Thursday. I think the Rays are going to explore some other trades, just as you saw them trade Cesar Ramos for a young guy. We just talked about they traded Jeremy Hellickson for a couple of young guys. There's some other players on that 40-man roster, you know, that you could see them trading. I would think Sean Rodriguez would be a possibility. I think Jose Molina, if they could, would be a possibility. I mean, at some point, they're going to have to address either Matt Joyce or David DeJesus. That, to me, might be more of a more deeper into the offseason, maybe part of a bigger deal. And there's some depth in the relief core, I think, you know, kind of in that Brandon Gomes, Steve Geltz, group, Reifenhauser. There's, you know, three or four guys in there, Yates, that maybe they could deal one out of that group as well. So I think you'll see them explore a number of trades between now and Thursday, and then if that doesn't work, if they don't see deals that they like, they're going to have to go the other way and take some guys off the roster and designate them and get no return. So that's really going to be, you know, kind of the trade-off for the Rays, is trade some of these guys and get something back now, or just designate other guys off the roster and, you know, hurt your depth a little bit, but they obviously have some prospects they want to protect. And I think Justin O'Connor, the catcher, who just came off a very good Arizona Fall League, would be the top of that list.
Mark Tompkin with us on the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. And while the Rays balance their roster decisions, they're also having to go through something called a managerial search. What's your take as they get through the first round of 10 interviews, at least to this point?
Well, I think there's a couple things, and you know, just I know I've done a few of the national interviews, and I've been asked this question, so certainly part of the national perception is, if Davey Martinez was indeed going to get the job, why are they going through such a large interview process? And I think that's a fair question, and you know, certainly the Rays are going to want to do their due diligence, but you do wonder, with a list as extensive and impressive of the names on it, you know, eight originally and then the two added, Doug Glanville and Barry Larkin, if they are searching for something else, or at least, you know, want to see what some other possibilities, maybe different ways philosophically would be. Obviously, Dave Martinez, I still think, is the front runner. He's been given the support by a number of players. I've talked personally with Zobrist, with Longoria, with Cobb, with Peralta. I mean, arguably four of the most, you know, key guys and the leaders in that clubhouse, and all four have come out very strongly in support of Dave Martinez. So I think that's going to be one of the issues. The other one is, you know, as this goes forward, how much longer will this drag out? I've heard everything from this could go right up until the winter meetings, that, you know, December 6th or 7th, right before the team officials leave to head out to San Diego. They want to bring in a number of these guys back, and it may be that there's two more stages. They may bring in five or six for secondary interviews and then cut to a couple of finalists, or they may go straight to that now sometime later this week.
Should be interesting in terms of which route the Rays go. Obviously, you know, we're not gonna wager on what you say on this, but Mark, gun to your head, is it Dave Martinez or the field?
I think, you know, and I'm not making a judgment here on Dave Martinez, but I think, you know, he will at some point be a major league manager. But my gut feeling, based on how extensive of a list the Rays assembled and the different types of personalities and resumes that they collected in putting together this list of 10, makes me think they're going to go a different direction.
Well, it will be interesting to watch, and I'm sure for you it's been interesting to cover. Hopefully you at least get to celebrate enough on the birthday, and we'll get at least a couple days off during this off season.
At some point, I think by sometime after the winter meetings, I'm kind of targeting that moment at least, and we'll see if it ends up a little sooner.
All right. Mark Tompkin, thanks for joining us on this Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Anytime, Neil. You know that.
That's Mark Topkin on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, part of a regular feature with people who know the team inside and out called From the Press Box. Mark mentioned the 40-man decisions the Rays need to make. Let's look at someone likely to join the Rays 40-man.
It's on the rise. Taking a look at Rays minor leaguers.
Justin O'Connor just finished up in the Arizona Fall League. He led his team to the championship game. Beyond that, O'Connor hit .303 with only 6 strikeouts in 66 plate appearances and threw out more than 50% of those trying to run on him. Justin O'Connor was rated as the best throwing arm in the Arizona Fall League, and in the championship game, a loss, he also added 2 more homers. Now O'Connor has the chance to have an impact on the future of the Rays in the field. Roberto Hernandez, the former closer, already has, and he's now having an impact off the field, too.
Time to check out the Community Corner.
Now joining us is Roberto Hernandez. Again, he was an All-Star as a Ray, as a reliever, and he's been helping out for many years during spring training and other times during the course of the season, and now doing a lot more work off the field as well. Roberto, thanks very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
Tell us how this has started. A bunch of X-rays. I guess Rick Vaughn has gotten you all together, and you're all going to be much more involved with the Rays going forward.
Well, it was Rick's idea to where, you know, there's a lot of us that have played for the Rays and the D-Rays and made St. Petersburg, Clearwater, you know, Tampa, you know, our home. And, you know, one of the things that we've talked about in the past, you know, is, you know, being able to help out in any capacity, you know, to represent the Rays or the old D-Rays, to where, you know, be able to have the, now that there's a supply of us here, you know, I know a lot of the active players, you know, sometimes don't make their home here in St. Pete, so they'd be able to use us at any capacity.
Who are some of the guys who are going to be helping out in addition to you? Because I know you've probably been as visible as any ex-member of this organization over the last several years.
You have Toby Hall, Mike DeFelice, Lance Carter, Andy Sonnenstein, Jason Romano,
Trevor Miller,
Travis Phelps, Miller. Those are the few that, you know, that come to the top of my head, you know, that, you know, are, that were at the meeting that we had, say about a month ago with Rick. Also you have Wechter. You know, there's a big group of us, and there's some that couldn't make it, like, Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's probably more, you know. I mean, you know, Miguel Cairo lives in this area. I mentioned Rolando Arojo, you know, that still lives in the area and still resides. You know, there's a big group of us.
That's kind of nice, and I'm sure from your standpoint, it allows you to kind of continue to give back and be involved with an organization that you're obviously fairly fond of still.
Yes, yes. I'm still active, involved, and, you know, right now I'm coaching, you know, I'm assistant coach at the high school level here with my son, that he's going to high school, but, you know, whenever I get a chance to go and meet and talk with the young relievers, you know, during the season, I go there, try to pick their brains, they try to pick mine, you know, I try to give back.
And I know I saw you a lot during spring training and during the course of the season. I saw you in the clubhouse. Is there a time where you enjoy spending more time? Is it in that spring training period where guys are tinkering, or during the regular season where guys may be going through either real good highs or lows?
Yeah, I mean, I do quite a bit talking with them during the season. You know, the times that I've been able to go down to spring training, what I like going to is going down not to the main camp. I like going down to the, you know, what they call the bushes, you know, the, you know, the minor league camp, and seeing the young guys, I think, and talking to them. That, you know, that brings more joy to me, because, you know, you got to go through that process of the minor leagues, and, you know, and then also what I bring a little bit more is a little bit of clout, since I went through the minor leagues for 6 years and was able to do it in a big stage in a big league. So, you know, for me to pull a kid aside and talk to them and watch them throw bullpens and give a little bit of my tip or a suggestion, and, you know, and that way they can open up to me, you know, it's been a fun ride, you know, just to be able to get them to talk, you know, and also, you know, for me to listen to them what they feel.
I would imagine that it's got to have an impact, too, on the kids you're working with at the high school level with your son there, too.
Yes, you know, I mean, a lot of them, you know, I've always said, you know, once you're coaching other kids besides your son, the other kids listen a little bit more. You know, it's tough to coach your own son. So when it comes to that, I let somebody else tell them. But with the other kids, you know, they're more receptive. They're looking at me like, you know, I do care. You know, and one of the things that I wanted to do when Joe was around when going to spring training was walk around down in the minor league side. And also the blessings that I got from some of the minor league roving instructors that I knew. Like Dewey Robinson and Bossman, and then, you know, and they gave me free reign to do that. You know, if they don't give me free reign, I can't do that. You know, but see, they're all on board because, you know, they all know the struggles I had, you know, in the minors, you know, till that light bulb clicked. You know, every person has their light clicks at a different time. You know, it's what do you do when that light clicks, and how do you approach it? You know, how do you attack hitters? How do you maintain that? How do you realize that once you get to the big leagues, you know, if you need a pitching coach or a hitting coach, you're in trouble. You should know what makes you tick from the minor league on up. You just, when people try to change because they get to the big league, they get in trouble.
Real good stuff, Roberto. Again, Roberto Hernandez with us on the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. We're happy to have you still as a member of the organization, involved in so many different ways, and great to see so many ex-members of the organization now helping out on a regular basis in the community.
Yeah. Right now, we are involved, you know, as a group text, trying to coordinate. You know, Thanksgiving is coming up, and that's one of the things that the Rays are going to continue to do. You know, and a lot of us are signing up for different events where we're going to go feed the homeless, the needy. You know, I know there's a lot of it coming up on the 15th and through the 19th. So a lot of us ex-Rays are signing up for that to help out in that situation.
That's former Rays reliever Roberto Hernandez on our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Watch for Roberto and other ex-Rays at a community event near you in Tampa Bay. Time now for trivia. Through Monday, the Rays have traded two players in the 2014 offseason. Who are they? Answer by tweeting at Rays Radio. Be first, be correct, and win a prize. On our next program, we'll discuss the 40-man additions and perhaps have more on the managerial search. That's a wrap on the latest This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. For more on the Rays this offseason, visit our blog at raysradio.mlblogs.com and follow us on Twitter at Rays Radio.